once again, dear listener, and thank you for listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Bruce G. McCarthy, your host for the next 1 hour, and you are listening to Datum Line. In our previous Datum Line broadcast, entitled Dictatorship of Debt, Part 6, we further expanded on the subject of central economic planning, which was carried out with gusto by the Roosevelt administration during the 1930s and 1940s. Popular opinion, even to this day, holds that it was FDR's socialist New Deal programs that actually rescued our capitalist free enterprise system from the Great Depression. This is a myth, rooted firmly in a false paradigm of Hegelian dialectics, a subject of today's message. But before we go too far down that road, it should be pointed out that America's economic resurgence was prompted by the phenomenal demands of World War II, placed upon our industrial and agricultural output for global war in Europe and in the Pacific. This economic windfall was built upon human slaughter in the millions and upon imaginary dollars in the billions, created by the criminal confidence game of bank credit. It was also during our last Datum Line message that an unsavory link was again forged between banking and war, a relationship familiar to some RBN listeners, but overlooked and ignored by the army of war protesters who wage peace on behalf of another false paradigm rooted in Hegelian dialectics. Now, some of our listeners will be unfamiliar with these expressions, but not their application, especially in the world of national politics around presidential election time. This is when responsible citizens are told to get out and vote for the lesser of two evils. But not until both candidates get a shot at the Oval Office, and by that I mean, I don't mean the outhouse, I mean the White House, will mainstream voters finally figure out that there's not a dime's worth of difference between them. Just as Alabama Governor George Wallace said so many years ago. Serious voters willing to step outside the box of mainstream media and look closely at the two party-approved candidates will discover that both of them groveled at the feet of the same warlords of political power, namely the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderberg Group, and AIPAC, that being the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee. Excuse me. Those are the most powerful and therefore covert operatives whose incredible influence requires that their deliberations and activities remain in the shadows, well concealed from public view or scrutiny, thanks to a complicit mainstream media and some alternative media as well. The title of today's message, Dictatorship of Debt, Part 7, wherein we will be discussing the subject of Hegelian dialect and false paradigms. In fact, you've probably noticed, especially during this last presidential race, how more and more people were grumbling about having to decide between the lesser of two evils, and how much harder it is for them to tell which one is worse. There's our music. This is our first break. You're listening to Datum Line, and I'm Bruce G. McCarthy.
If you're taking 1, 2, 5, or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. And now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with four of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity and is safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Why do over 50% of North Americans suffer from some form of chronic ailment? Could it be due to a toxic overload? It's time to take back your life. Get the lead out, as well as the cadmium, mercury, and calcium. Extendovite is a garlic cayenne supplement with five other herbs that acts like a natural Drano, cleaning out the stored toxins, restoring your energy and youthfulness that we've lost. If you would like to live your life free of sickness, pain, or fear, then Extendovite is for you. Available in either capsules or liquid, you too can see why Extendovite is the number one heart drop available. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us at 1-877-605-9200.
Bottom line and our message today, Dictatorship of Debt, Part 7. You know, listeners are probably wondering why it has taken so long for mainstream Americans to figure out the program, or what we might call the paradigm, or why there are so many people who still have no clue that the game is rigged. Well, it has a lot to do with this word, paradigm. It's a fancy-sounding word which simply means example, pattern, or model. How do people see or perceive the political model, the political pattern, or, if you will, the big picture in the political realm? How do they perceive the spectrum of political debate, or the pattern of political ideologies, in this case? And who determines how they will see this overall political picture, model, or paradigm? The political menu, if you will. Obviously, media and academia play key roles in shaping the public's perception of what allegedly constitutes a genuine debate of the issues, and even whether the genuine issues are going to be allowed on the table for debate. Academia is presumably responsible for defining all of the various isms, you know, communism, fascism, socialism, that go in to make up the complete political spectrum of beliefs from which the candidates espousing those beliefs must be chosen. They even throw the word capitalism in there as though it were a political persuasion. For many American voters, however, the idea of choosing between ideologies, all of those isms, is both overly complicated and so unnecessary. Instead, they follow the example or pattern, the paradigm, if you will, that was laid out for them in high school when they voted for class president. The qualifications for office? Good looks, charm, and smooth-sounding rhetoric. Thus, the first paradigm was set. Consequently, campaign ads teach voters nothing about principles of government, our Constitution, or freedom. Billboards and signs simply say, a vote for change, or vote for so-and-so, the right choice, or vote for so-and-so, vote for experience. All of these slogans mean absolutely nothing. And yet, those are the signs put out to influence your decision as to who to vote for. You know, they don't even have the courtesy of asking for your vote. They tell you who to vote for. Wouldn't it be nice to say, to see a sign that says, would you please vote for? No. Well, having opened today's message on the subject of war, in fact, I closed the previous message on the same subject, the subject of war as it relates to banking, I'll dovetail this idea of false paradigms with the subject of war and the subject of war protest, about which I alluded to a few minutes ago, that the political stage is controlled and therefore not free in the United States, land of the free, home of the brave, is obvious to the point of overkill. And it's exemplified by media tactics that were employed against Ron Paul, for example, followed by his political assassination at the hands of his own Republican Party. What hope, then, does the rest of the world have of freely choosing their best candidates in countries like India, Russia, or China? All of the world is a stage, said William Shakespeare. Or was that Sir Francis Bacon? And it's not only rigged within each country, the political interactions between countries, alternating between war and peace, are also controlled from behind the scenes through official and unofficial diplomatic maneuvers and intrigues. Such were the means employed to cunningly draw the United States into World War I on the side of Great Britain by the sacrificial offering of those passengers on the Lusitania, which was maneuvered intentionally into harm's way so that the Germans could sink it for that purpose. Not that the Germans knew that the Brits and America had actually orchestrated that event. Now, while nearly everyone in his right mind would, from a limited menu of war and peace, would choose peace, right? Yet the world is now voting for more and more war. Are you surprised? According to some analysts, war has been on the rise since the Bolshevik Revolution in 1917, with more lives lost to violent conflicts during the last 100 years than in all the military campaigns throughout all prior recorded world history combined. Others have noted that more wars, big and small, overt and covert, have occurred since the United Nations was created in 1945 to ensure peace through understanding, than were fought throughout all of recorded history. So much for world government bringing us peace. That world government capital sitting on Rockefeller-donated land from a $7 million gift in 1940-era dollars, which was used to jumpstart a new military colossus repeatedly called upon to enforce the peace with its United Nations peacekeeping forces. Sounds a bit paradoxical, doesn't it?
Well, how else do you expect to have world peace?
Say the advocates of this monopolized global police state. But is this really a choice between war and peace? Or is it another false paradigm where a controlled menu offers us the choice of voting between two evils? Peace, after all, is only possible when evil behavior, what the Bible calls sin, by the way, is punished on the level playing field of God's merciful judgment. The current choice is simply between who gets to pull the trigger or push the button. More to the point, it's a choice between letting nations defend themselves from an aggressor as opposed to a global monopoly on military aggression. As Lord Acton said so long ago, power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Is that true or false? I say it's true. You know, there's a song sung among the peace advocates, and it goes something like this. All we are saying is give peace a chance. I saw a bumper sticker a few months ago. It was an airline captain who was wheeling his dolly of luggage through a hotel lobby. And on one of the pieces of luggage was a sign that said, give war a chance. Now, I had a conversation with the captain. It was kind of an interesting one, but brief, because he was on his way to catch his own flight. Well, all the United Nations is demanding is absolute power. Absolute power to own and control all of the military might devised by modern man. Now, with that in hand, they will give you peace, and lots of it. The United Nations track record for promoting world peace through understanding, you understand, is no better than the Federal Reserve's record of promoting economic stability, in other words, no inflation, and debt-free, which I mean by that to be genuine, prosperity. See, people look at prosperity that is caused by the influx of bank credit, and therefore people massively in debt, and call that prosperity. Well, that's not true prosperity, because you don't own what it is you think you own. The bank does. So, again, the United Nations track record for promoting world peace is no better than the Federal Reserve's record of promoting economic stability and debt-free prosperity. And once we apply an accurate yardstick for measuring their success in achieving world peace and economic prosperity for everyone, the picture is not as rosy as the elite global landlords would have us believe. For instance, back around 1990, I inquired of United Nations staff as to how many organized wars were ongoing at that time. Their reply? Approximately 40 of them, simultaneously. Now, that's pretty dismal news for mankind in general, isn't it? But it's not so bad for international bankers who are called upon to fund those wars, and for both sides of the conflict. And after hostilities have ceased, these same bankers are again asked, ever so politely, to finance the reconstruction of those devastated countries. You remember the Marshall Plan, don't you? Name one other business that can profit more handsomely from both war and peace while winning the heartfelt devotion of money-hungry politicians in the process. And all of these loans are created out of absolutely nothing, for which the bankers have the nerve to charge interest. Maybe this explains why, according to some estimates, that the Rockefellers... there's our music. We'll pick this thought up on the other side of this break. You're listening to Datum Line, and I'm Bruce G. McCarthy.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you had the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. Life Straw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. Life Straw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. Life Straw is easy to clean, comes with a one-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing Life Straw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Seed Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tattler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com, for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of microplant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, microplant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608, 1-908-691-2608, or visit us at hempusa.org today.
How important is the air we breathe? Our air purifiers are made with a patent process called Aeron. Aeron is different from ozone. Aeron does not create oxides of nitrogen like other ozone machines. Unlike any air purifiers out there, the Aeron generator adds additional energy, creating higher forms of oxygen. And when the Aeron molecule comes in contact with pollution, the pollution is quickly oxidized. These higher forms of energized oxygen have more power to oxidize pollutants, remove dust, pollen, mold, and other particles from the air, destroying chemical fumes and toxic gases, kills mold, mildew, fungi, and kills many viruses and bacteria in the air and on surfaces for a healthier, cleaner environment. Visit our website, republicbroadcasting.org. That's republicbroadcasting.org. Just click on our online store or call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Be prepared. How important is the air we breathe?
Indeed.com.
This segment of Datumline, and on the other side of this last break, I had asked the question as to what other business could possibly profit more from both war and peace while winning the devotion of money-hungry politicians in the process, and all based upon creating loans out of absolutely nothing for which they have the nerve to charge interest. So I was beginning to suggest that this may explain, for those of you who are investigative-type people, this may explain why, according to some estimates, the Rockefellers are said to be worth somewhere in the order of $20 trillion, that's with a T as in tango, $20 trillion, eclipsed by the Rothschilds of Europe at the order of $120 trillion. Making mere billionaires look like paupers. And, of course, millionaires don't count for anything but dust in such a world. Yet the so-called peace and war protest movement is, from what little I know about it, strangely silent about the sins of banking. What sins are those? Oh, just as a reminder, unjust weights and measures, the exaction of interest, which the Bible says is synonymous with usury, theft,
and deceit in furtherance of their criminal confidence game, known as bank credit, even as it pertains specifically to war. If my observations are correct, then we have ample reason to question whether the elite, noble-minded geniuses are worthy to rule over more and more so-called intelligent commoners who somehow bought into the myth of human evolution down at the local schoolhouse. Most of today's more advanced and evolved humans know little or nothing about this nexus between war and the fine folks called bankers who make them possible. Imagine how deflated a war hawk potentate or president would feel if his central bank answered the patriotic call for emergency funding with a reply that goes something like this: "Sorry, we don't think this war is a sound investment for our stockholders. We're going to sit this one out. You're going to go this one alone. And if you try to get nasty about this, Mr. President or potentate, we'll pull the rug out from underneath this economy so fast, creating a depression so deep that the citizens who put you in office will have your head on a platter by sundown." Oh, that would never happen, right? Such arrogance does not exist in the world of politics and economics. Well, I beg to differ. But let's go back almost 200 years and read the words of a less evolved human, one who believed and even quoted the Bible and was endowed with that rare commodity called common sense, which the French philosopher Voltaire said was not very common. Of whom do I speak? Senator Thomas Hart Benton of Missouri, who, as a man devoted to his constitutional oath, served faithfully under 8 presidential administrations for 30 years, from 1820 to 1850. These were Presidents James Monroe, John Quincy Adams, Andrew Jackson, Martin Van Buren, William Henry Harrison, who died, by the way, unexpectedly only a few days after taking office, John Tyler, who was his vice president and the first vice president to assume the presidential office as a consequence of no president being currently available, James Polk, and Zachary Taylor. It was under President Taylor in 1848, the same year Moses Mordecai Levy wrote his Communist Manifesto under the alias of Karl Marx, and shortly after the war with Mexico had ended, that Senator Benton again spoke of the much longer war that had pitted bank credit against America's lawful money, gold and silver coin. This was the war about which media and academia have told us virtually nothing, and about which Americans understand even less. Nevertheless, our countrymen are not shy about their opinions, which favor the world of finance, based on myths molded by the godmen who create imaginary money. These myths rooted in Hegelian dialectics to create a host of false paradigms, you know, those choices between two evils. From our nation's constitutional beginnings in 1787, this battle would rage uninterrupted for almost 200 years, when in the 1960s, the banner of international finance would finally wave victorious over a socialist, centrally planned economy that was destitute of all money, but totally dependent upon imaginary loans of intangible bank credit created by the merciful whim of a global banking cartel. It was this war that decided our nation's fate as surely as any war fought on blood-stained battlefields. This is our midtime break. I'm Bruce G. McCarthy, and you are listening to Datum Line.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Hey there, my name is Frank Bates. What I'm about to tell you in the next 60 seconds could get me in a lot of trouble. I just created a free video presentation at 123crooks.com that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they really are. Incompetent, lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up. And you'll be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. My video at 123crooks.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret of how I beat them and how you can beat them too. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123crooks.com and discover one weird trick to slash your power bill and protect your home. Go watch my video now at 123crooks.com before they force me to shut it down. 123crooks.com.
An effective, 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available to be shipped out to you, rush delivery. Heart and Body Extract is a 100% natural, organic, and wild-crafted formula made out of garlic, hawthorn berries, hawthorn leaves, coleus, motherwort, bilberry, butcher's broom kelp, mistletoe, ginger, and cayenne pepper. It is an excellent formula designed to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Order your 2-month supply by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. Take the high road to a long and happy life. HeartAndBody.com.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and in some instances your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Second half of Datum Line, our message today entitled The Dictatorship of Debt Part 7. And I had on the other side of the break ended by saying that there was a protracted war of which Senator Benton spoke, which was the lengthy war, almost 200 years war, between bank paper or bank credit and America's lawful money, which no longer circulated after about 1965. But unlike the heroes, those heroes, for example, who died in defense of the Alamo, the veterans of this war, veterans like Senator Benton, would be buried under an avalanche of rewritten and redacted history. Their names would never be mentioned in the VFW and American Legion halls of America, at least not in connection with this war, because the list would include names like Roger Sherman, Oliver Ellsworth, John Langdon, George Washington, who again is not spoken of in connection with this war, Thomas Jefferson, ditto, Andrew Jackson, well, people do know something about him, Senators Nathaniel Macon and Senator Thomas Benton, and of course others. Watch a documentary about George Washington and learn why he seldom smiled. Well, because he had wooden teeth, a source of personal embarrassment. But you'll learn nothing about his disdain for paper money.
Watch a documentary about John Adams, our second president, and learn minute details of his personal life, his temper, perhaps, but nothing about his opposition to paper money or the fact that he was a daily Bible reader and year by year would read the Bible in its entirety, year after year, from Genesis to Revelation. That not being mentioned. Funny thing about our minute details of history. The same with Thomas Jefferson, perhaps his romantic indiscretions, which made wonderful dirty laundry for pretentious history buffs. But not a word about his fear of banks more than standing armies, or of his repugnance for federally issued legal tender, paper money, so-called. Well, with this lengthy introduction to Senator Benton, let's turn to Senator Benton's two-volume works called The 30 Years View, and I'm going to read a brief statement concerning his perception of war as it relates to banking. Quote, he said, this long contest between the hard money and the paper money advocates ceased to rage. Well, this is because the hard money had temporarily won. The virtue, he said, of a gold and silver currency had shown itself in its good effects upon every branch of business, upon the entire pursuits of human industry, and above all, in assuring to the working man a solid compensation instead of a delusive cheat for his day's labor. War, and especially war, to be carried on abroad is the great test of currency. And the Mexican War was to subject the restored golden currency of the United States. It had been restored by Thomas Jefferson, who, by the way, had seen to it, he and his party, that the First Bank of the United States 20-year charter was not renewed. So it was the Mexican War to subject the restored golden currency of the United States to that supreme test, and here the paper money party, the National Bank Sound Currency Party, felt sure of the victory. Now, it was also Senator Benton in the Senate and Andrew Jackson whose veto prevented the re-chartering of the second national bank. That charter was to expire, I believe it was in the year 1836, and the charter renewal came up for discussion, or at least was being bandied about by the proponents for recharter, 6 years in advance, because they didn't plan on having their bank shut down like Jefferson shut down the First Bank. But Andrew Jackson was equal to the task. The First National Bank, says Benton, had been established upon the war argument presented by General Hamilton to President Washington. That General Hamilton was Alexander Hamilton. The Second National Bank, he says, was born of the War of 1812. You notice the connection, the close proximity to war with regards to these central banks. And, says Benton, the war with Mexico was confidently looked to as the trial which was to show inadequacy of the hard money currency to its exigencies and the necessity of establishing a national paper currency. End quote. That by Senator Thomas Benton in The 30 Years View, Volume 2, from page 726, and that was published in 1861. His first volume was published, I believe it was, in 1854. Well, it seemed to me appropriate to highlight Senator Benton's grasp of a common sense observable nexus between bankers and war, in contrast to the general ignorance of this fact today, even by war protesters, despite our well-endowed educational system, which includes colleges and universities, and a tremendous mass media communications network. The war protest movement represents a voluminous wealth of human intellect and knowledge, and boasts nearly 100 years of public service, at least on the part of its Fellowship of Reconciliation, which protested against our entry into World War I, and I would applaud them for that. Yet no one from these ranks ever tried to bend my ear on the sins of banking, nor does Fellowship of Reconciliation, an interfaith ministry, permit articles in their magazine to promulgate and express biblical viewpoint. on pertinent issues, such as banking, or even war. This, no doubt, is to avoid offending subscribers who hold to non-Christian views, which might have to be given equal time or equal space based on their religious book, perhaps the Koran or the Bhagavad Gita, or maybe even the 60-volume Talmud or the Kabbalah. Why am I not surprised by these apparent anomalies? Because any organization bent on social reform through the weight of sheer numbers and popular acceptance will be threatened to compromise on hard truths when subjected to internal strife between a divided membership. An innocent and unsuspecting majority will submit to an innocuous-sounding demand made by a professionally organized minority acting on a hidden agenda to neutralize that organization and then to redirect its efforts so as to benefit the goals of that covert element of subversive members. More about that later, perhaps, in another broadcast. Now, Republican right-wing players are prone to believe that this could only take place inside the Democratic Party, the left-wing organizations, you understand. But both sides are confounded by false paradigms, examples of which I will relate, hopefully, if we have time, in this and our next broadcast. These false paradigms, or false pictures, or false models, are built upon a reasoning process articulated by the German philosopher George Wilhelm Friedrich Hegel and called the dialectical logic or the Hegelian dialect, or dialectic, I should say, which goes something like this. First, one idea, concept, or premise is put forward, that being the thesis, to which an opposing concept is then asserted, that being the antithesis or antithesis. The argument or interaction between these two opposing viewpoints then leads to the formation of a new concept or viewpoint, which is called the synthesis, or what you and I might call a compromise. Now, on the surface, this looks and sounds perfectly acceptable. And we'll use a real estate sale for a practical example. And it might go something like this. Alan just advertised his house for sale at a price of, we'll call it $200,000, babble bucks as I call them. Bill sees the ad, goes to inspect the house, and he makes an offer of $175,000. The asking price of $200,000 is viewed as the thesis upon which Alan would argue its validity based on his cost of building materials, labor, land, maintenance, and upkeep, and comparable houses in the neighborhood in the same price range. The counteroffer of $175,000 is the antithesis or the antithesis upon which Bill will argue, based upon a depressed market brought about by destructive Federal Reserve policies that increased home and business foreclosures, put more people out of work, and therefore allow for fewer dollars to be bid on houses. Okay, that is his antithesis, and he's going to argue on it. Now, eventually, Alan and Bill come to an agreement. Let's say it's $187,000, and we might call that the synthesis. Now, absent any drastic changes in the real estate market, this new compromise sale price, the synthesis of $187,000, will likely become the next thesis if Bill should soon decide to sell his new house. From the new thesis will come a new antithesis. And finally, a new synthesis, the triad, thesis, antithesis, synthesis. And it all sounds perfectly reasonable, doesn't it? Until someone discovers a means by which to control the spectrum of debate, as in the realm of national economic reform, or a presidential election, whereupon a spectator public rushes into the conflict on behalf of Tweedledee or maybe Tweedledum, unaware that the debate was already deflected away from the real issues so as to waste everyone's energies arguing about nothing or nearly nothing. And this is why no one has been able to mass an assault against America's descent into slavery and third world status. Honest Republicans, Democrats, liberals, and conservatives willing to step outside of this box of which I speak will eventually recognize their organizational failure to stop the miserable trend here in America. And the reason they can't stop it is because they have heretofore not recognized their organizational failure for what it really is. Intentional. Planned. By a hidden agenda, as it usually turns out. You know, as Professor Stuart Crane so often said, it took a long time to make us this dumb. It's no accident. We common folk are all victims of the same sinister mind game, one which even prompts us to act and react in predetermined and predictable ways. If, for example, I say something derogatory about Mitt Romney, you're supposed to assume that I'm a supporter of Barack Obama. After all, how could anyone be against the best of two opposing viewpoints given to us by the experts in political wisdom? Well, for some of us, it's really easy, isn't it? Let's construct an example of Hegelian dialectics, a fanciful example, if you will, to prefix my follow-up real-life examples for which I will necessarily need more time, which is a commodity I notice that I'm running out of here in today's message. Suppose the government prosecuted a man for the brutal assault and murder of 12 young mermaids. This we'll call the thesis. And the argument based upon, that the thesis is based upon, or that the thesis is actually what the argument is based upon, will provide detailed arguments and witnesses alleging how and when these crimes were committed, perhaps all on Halloween, let's say. Suppose also that the victim's survivors, also mermaids, were represented by a team of attorneys who specialized in wrongful death suits. Then let's suppose the alleged assailant, a brutal-looking thug with a long criminal record which included violent behavior, was represented by a public defender. Suppose the defendant even acknowledged having met each of the mermaids, had dated six of them, and was intimately involved with three of them. This becomes part of the antithesis or antithesis. Would you be surprised to learn that the jury, all of whom were college graduates and devotees of television soap operas, none of whom believed in mermaids prior to this trial, now believe in mermaids? The synthesis being assault upon mermaids and the murder of mermaids is a crime, when in fact there's no such thing as a mermaid. At the start of today's message, I mentioned a myth that it was FDR's Socialist New Deal programs that rescued our free enterprise economy, our capitalist free enterprise system, from the Great Depression. But what if I were to assert that in 1929 to 1934, the United States had neither a capitalist system nor a free enterprise system? How many mainstream Americans would think me crazy and would even bother to listen to my argument? The Federal Reserve System opened for business in 1914, didn't it? But it had two agendas. There was the overt, outward agenda, which was to stabilize the free market economy, so-called, but it wasn't even free then, by preventing rapid ups and downs in prices, you know, the deflation, the inflation, and to promote overall economic well-being. The hidden agenda, which was made evident when the dust finally settled, was to confiscate all of America's lawful money and then hold America ransom with intangible bank credit. By 1934, only 20 years after the Federal Reserve began operation, the Federal Reserve System had confiscated all of America's gold and had a complicit Congress that made it against public policy, those were the words, against public policy, for the American people to own their own gold or even to get it back, ever. House Joint Resolution 192, Now, is a resolution a law? I don't think so. But does that sound like a free enterprise system to you? Remember, the Fed was authorized by Congress to begin operations with a 40% gold reserve against all of their outstanding notes or IOUs. Would you like to do that? Would your bank authorize you to open a checking account whereby you could write checks on a 40% reserve? Could you legally and lawfully write $100 checks against $40 balances, knowing that the full amount would clear the bank, thereby allowing you to steal $60 out of every $100 worth of goods and services? Well, there's our music. Here's our last break. I'm Bruce G. McCarthy, and you're listening to Datum Line.
Introducing Michael Anthony's Private Stock Herbal Formulas, infection killer for all infections, viral, bacterial, fungal, parasitic. My Rapid Heal for all injuries enables the body to mend super fast. My System Toner, the Rejuvenator, tune-up for the entire body, head to toe, keeping it youthful, the mind positive and focused. Dragon Juice, the Revitalizer, pure power in a delicious drink. If your body's dragging, you need Dragon Juice. Lung formula for asthma and all lung afflictions, arthritis fix, great tasting herbal teas and more. Michael Anthony's Private Stock exclusive herbal formulas. To find out more, call 845-231-1094 or email Michael Anthony's Private Stock at yahoo.com. Michael Anthony's Private Stock exclusive herbal formulas.
Chlorine, fluoride, pathogens, and more are in the water you drink day to day. Do you want the ability to remove and reduce those harmful things in the water you drink? You can. How? With a Berkey water filter. A complete standalone gravity filter system that requires no electricity and no plumbing. Use for emergencies or for every day. Berkey systems come in 7 different sizes. Where can you get one? From GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com. With the purchase of each system, you get 50% off accessories, such as fluoride filters, water level spigot, and sport bottles. Plus, free shipping on all orders over $25. For a limited time, get 5% off all ceramic systems when you use coupon code RBN. Call GetBerkey at 855-GetBerkey. That's 855-438-2375. Or visit GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us at 1-877-605-9200.
Greetings and welcome back to the final and very brief segment remaining in this Datum Line broadcast. I was kind of hoping to be able to introduce the subject of capital and capitalism and capitalists, but the time is not going to permit me to do that, so it would behoove me to find something else to wind up this message with. But I do need to go back and reconstruct my last thought, because I was interrupted in that. And I had asked the question, if your bank would authorize you to open up a checking account whereby you could write checks on a 40% reserve. Have you ever thought about that? That's how the Federal Reserve began. And their reserve was dropped in 1945 to 25%. And in 1968, their reserve was dropped officially to 0%. Would you like to be able to open up a checking account on a 0% reserve and be able to write checks without having anything in your account? Would you like to be able to do that? And if you could, would you call that free enterprise? Or would you call that fraud and theft? Or do you think free enterprise and a free enterprise system is actually the authorization of fraud and theft? If you believe that, then your understanding of the word free and freedom is maligned. And we'll get into that. I guess we're going to have to get into that subject. I know we will in the next broadcast. But for now, I'm going to ask, would you like to write checks on a 40% reserve? Could you legally and lawfully write $100 checks against $40 balances? If you could, then that would allow you to steal $60 out of every $100 worth of checks that you wrote in exchange for goods and services that you got, partially paid for, 40%, most of which was stolen, the 60%, from whoever was willing to take your checks. I'm going to ask you again, does that sound like a free enterprise system to you? And do you think that's the kind of a system that our Constitution and our system of statutes and ordinances at the federal, state, and local level were written to protect? Absurd. Of course they weren't. And you know that. Yet there was a false paradigm, if you will, that was created with this belief that FDR's Socialist New Deal had actually rescued the free enterprise capitalist system. In our next broadcast, I'm going to go into this in greater detail, and we will analyze this word capital, and we will establish, I hope for your satisfaction, that the American system even then wasn't predicated upon capital. Although there was some capital in circulation, if you want to call gold and silver capital, and it was. But the credit instruments issued by the Federal Reserve banking system, that was not capital. In fact, Senator Thomas Benton, almost 200 years ago, knew enough to call bank credit fictitious capital. And I'm going to ask you a question. Is fictitious capital a synonym for capital? I suggest it isn't. You've been listening to Datum Line. I'm Bruce G. McCarthy. Have a good day, and God bless.